Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is Seth Green, and you are listening to Somewhere in Vegas with Mark, and I am so hot, I would desperately like a glass of water. Please, please, give me some water.
This is Cindy Preston, and I'm with Mark on Somewhere in Vegas.
Hi, this is Melissa Peterman from CMT's The Singing Bee and the television show Reba, and I have to tell you, I just have to get it off my chest, I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi there. This is Faith Roscoe from General Hospital. You're listening to Mark on Somewhere in Vegas. And you better watch out. We know how to find you if you're not listening.
Hi, this is Shannon Egan from Whippet, and I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hey, this is Lee Allen Baker with Somewhere in Vegas, talking with Mark with a Q.
This is Courtney Cronin. You're listening to Somewhere in Vegas with your host, Mark, and I would make sure to listen every week because he's a sure bet.
Hey, this is the Money Man, Eddie Money. I've got two tickets to Paradise, and it's, you know what? It's Somewhere in Vegas. And what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Hi, this is Crystal Kale, and I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi, this is Terry Nunn from Berlin, and you're listening to Mark Somewhere in Vegas.
Hi, this is Miracle Lori from Joss Whedon's Dollhouse. There are three flowers in a vase, and I'm listening to Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi, this is Erin Hill, and you are listening to Mark on Blog Talk Radio and Somewhere in Vegas. Mark is a great guy.
Hi, this is Sean Pulaski. I'm still trying to figure out Mark Pico's sexuality, but I know you're listening to Somewhere Live in Vegas.
Here you go, Mark. I'm sorry. I thought you were she. I'm sorry. Get out of the tent. Let's get out of here.
Hey, this is Lance and Anna from Free Radio. And Anna?
And you're listening to Somewhere in Vegas.
Yes.
My favorite.
You know, that's usually what happens with me. I go to Vegas and I get lost, and so I end up somewhere in Vegas.
Somewhere in Vegas.
But right. I just don't know where it is.
Not quite sure.
Yeah, word.
Get ready. It's going to be hot. It's in Vegas. Check out Mark. Be there or be square.
Welcome, everybody, to Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Mark the Q. I'm your host. I'm very privileged to have a very, very talented country singer out of the Pacific Northwest. She's currently, I believe, over in Nashville at the moment. She released her self-named album last year, and she's currently a part of the iHeartRadio Macy's contest, where she can be performing live on stage this summer at the iHeartRadio Festival here in Las Vegas, Nevada. I am really privileged to have Rochelle Lene on us with us at the moment. How are you doing, Rochelle?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. How's things been? I mean, it seems like it's been a very busy year for you.
It always is. You know, it's been a great year so far. I've just been kicking things off with a brand new single. It's called Whole Lot of Nothing, and it's one that's involved in the contest that you were just talking about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what was it like for you to have that opportunity to be a part of this contest? I mean, they've only picked 25 people to be able to be a part of this contest. What does it mean to you to be right now in the top 25?
You know, it's really it's a privilege and an honor to be among so many talented musicians. I mean, if you look at that list, there's some great talent, and I'm really glad to have been chosen. And it's been fun too for me to be able to check out some artists that I, you know, wasn't really familiar with before, and it's been exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be exciting to be able to you know, have this opportunity to be on a big stage like iHeartRadio Festival, which is quickly becoming probably one of the predominant stages for a lot of these new artists. You know, last year was a really crazy year for that when they were here last year. So obviously performing on stage with some of the hottest acts out there at the festival this year is something that you might be looking forward to coming up this summer.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about your background. You grew up in the Pacific Northwest. You're from Alaska as well. You know, it seems like since from an early age you were kind of musically inclined. Tell us a little bit about that, and you know, were you always singing out loud?
yeah, pretty much. You know, I obviously don't remember this, but I'm told that I started singing, you know, about the same time as I could had figured out how to, you know, is that when I was talking, I was singing, you know, so, I mean, it's always been a passion. And from the time I was a really little girl, I knew that my home was going to be in country music and that that's all I really wanted to do. So, you know, growing up in Kodiak, Alaska, the big island there in the Gulf, of Alaska, you know, there wasn't necessarily a huge music scene. I think my parents probably didn't really know what to do with me. You know, oh my goodness, my kid wants to be a singer. What am I going to do? But, you know, they encouraged me. And by the time I was 12, I was, you know, writing music and writing full songs. And we moved down to the lower 48 at Washington State when I was also when I was 12, and I started, you know, doing more recording and touring, and made my way down to Nashville, and that's where things got, you know, even more crazy and awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's an interesting scene as it is now. I mean, I've had a lot of musicians on from the Pacific Northwest as of late, and it seems like that scene's been very interesting. You'd think that it would be a lot of rock coming out of that area, but a lot of the artists I have had on the show have been country artists or blues artists or Americana artists, which is very interesting. It's a very interesting scene in terms of the Northwest. And, you know, I think the idea of country growing, everybody kind of thinks that country is kind of a Southern thing, you know, or across the South and all this. Well, but we're seeing a lot of artists from a lot of different places, from Canada. I had a guy from Sweden that did country music. But, you know, all across the world and all across the country, that we're seeing this as well. I mean, you know, what does that mean to you, especially as a country artist coming from Alaska?
Yeah, you know, I really think that we do tend to think of country. I think a lot of people think of country as being something in the South, but it's really more a state of mind. You know, it's something. Country music is a storytelling format, so it's funny to me. There's always people who are like, oh, well, I don't really like country music, but if you start, you know, playing them more country music, then more often than not, they're like, oh yeah, I totally relate to that. You know, it's so the storytelling that is really at the heart of country music, I think, is what makes it something that is not just a Southern thing. It's a small town thing. And sometimes it's not even a small town thing. It's just about telling real stories and being able to do that through music. And so it's been kind of cool. You know, the last few years, country's been growing to reach so many people. And it's been really neat to see that, because I've always said that all along. You know, I've always been like, you will love this if you give it a chance, you know, to friends that weren't necessarily country fans. And it's been cool to see them give it a chance and see country reaching more and more people.
Yeah, I think with the digital age as well, I think we're getting to that point where people are actually listening to it, I guess, on the other side of the planet. And we're getting fans that way, you know, so it's kind of amazing to be able to see that as well. And obviously you're connecting a lot more fans on Twitter, especially considering the contest is going on as well. I mean, how's it been for you to kind of get some of the reaction, that instant reaction for some of the fans and, you know, kind of touching out to some of the fans and what they like about your music?
It is so cool to have social media now and to have this ability to communicate with fans, and I can communicate with them, they can communicate with me, and there's not as much of a wall as there used to be, you know, before country music, not before country music, before social media started being so big. And so with this contest, it's been really fun just to see the support. You know, I have that immediate access to seeing a lot of fans rallying and asking their, you know, friends and family to vote as well. And it's really encouraging to see people connecting to the song and rallying.
Yeah, you know, it's great to be able to hear that as well. Now, going back to you growing up, I mean, you said that that your parents encouraged you as well. I mean, what was some of the music that you grew up with?
I grew up on country music and gospel music. And, I mean, my dad used to play the guitar most nights after dinner. He'd just pull it out and he'd play and sing and would sing and dance along. I grew up listening to some big influences for me when I was younger were, you know, Reba McEntire, The Judds, Shania Twain, Martina McBride, you know, and then later Jamie O'Neill, and just a lot of the great women in country music. And that's probably also why I found country to be my home, were those influences.
Yeah, there was always, there's always been some really strong women in terms of country music. We all the way back from Patsy Cline to now. I mean, it's seemed like we've had a lot of strong women in terms of the thing, and a lot of them are really kind of making raves now, especially now. We're seeing a lot more edgier sounds in terms of the women, and we're seeing that in you as well. I noticed that in your music that you do have a little bit of an edge on it, which I think a lot of the fans nowadays, especially the young ladies, are finding attractive in terms of listening to the music as well. I mean, just looking back at some of your influences and looking at your music now, I mean, what's your idea of, you know, what's your thoughts on the idea of how women in country music have evolved?
It's funny because we're at a time in country music now where I think actually the pendulum's about to swing back over to having more women being, you know, dominant in country music. But we've been going through a time when it's been mostly the guys. Have you noticed that? It's like all these guys. But the women, you know, someone like Miranda Lambert, like just, you know, cleaning up at the ACMs this last weekend and seeing Rebout, they're still just rocking it, you know. I think that women in country music have, they give it the softer side, but they also bring the sass, you know. And that's been something for me that's really huge, because I'm kind of sassy. I like to be a little spunky. And, you know, if you go to a live show, you'll see me kind of running around the stage and really rocking out. Like, I always say I'm a country rocker, you know. So I think that women, we're there to empower each other. And I think that that's been kind of the role of women in country music, is to give the voice to the country listeners. And to have other women empowered, whether it's, you know, if it's a breakup song, it's the song that gets them through it. Or if it's, you know, just a going out and having a good time song, then they're there with their girlfriends having a good time. But it's always about empowerment, I think.
Yeah. How many instruments do you play? You obviously play guitar. Do you play any other instruments?
I do play piano, and I recently learned the ukulele just for this new song.
Well, I mean, that's great to hear. Actually, a gal that I've had on a couple years ago named Miracle Lori, she was on a TV show called Dollhouse, and she has a ukulele band. And I think there's a couple artists that have said that they play ukulele too, so.
Well, you know, if you're used to the guitar, it's not too far of a stretch. I mean, it's different shapes, but, you know, your hands are used to learning new chords and learning new shapes, so it's not too far of a stretch. But it was actually a lot of fun, though, for me to pick up a new instrument.
Do you have a name for your guitar, by the way?
Do I have a name for my guitar?
Yeah.
No, I don't, but you may have just inspired me to come up with one. I don't know. I'll have to think on that.
That's the second time I've asked an artist that, and they said, oh, I don't know, but you inspired me, I should probably name it. Because a lot of guys will name their guitars. It's weird that girls don't name their guitars as much. I think that they would, but you'll have to think of a name.
I haven't thought of it. You know, I have a lot of friends that will name their cars. I don't know if I know anyone who names their guitar, but I'm definitely, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, a lot of guys do. I mean, there are some famous guitars that they name, you know, they name, I think Bo Diddley's is, I think, the most famous, Lucille, but, there are like a lot of guys name their instruments. They name their axes, and it's kind of interesting. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Any girls that have actually named their guitars, but I was just interested to see if that was in the situation. But that's something you could put out to your Twitter followers too, you know?
Hey, what should I name it? Yeah, absolutely. That'd be fun. See what people come up with.
At all, yeah. Now, you've been touring since you were 19. I mean, you know, having that experience to be out on the road and to be able to be able to be out touring and see the bands as well as that. You know, have you learned a lot over these past couple of years while you were touring, and has it gotten a little bit easier for you?
I have always loved the stage. There's something about it. I feel really at home on a stage, probably more so than a lot of places. And When you're out on the road, the cool thing about, you know, you said that I've been doing this for a while, and I actually started touring and doing full shows when I was, oh gosh, full shows, I think I was like 15 when I started doing that. But then at this level where I'm, you know, getting to open up for really cool bands like the band Perry and Randy Houser and just a bunch of really cool people, got to open for Wynonna, you know. What's really neat about that and being in the position where you're the opening act and then you're, you know, backstage on the sidelines or maybe you get like a cool place where you can kind of view the show is that I get to learn. You know, I get to see people who are more seasoned and see, you know, what are they doing that is adding that special something to their show? And maybe is that something that I should incorporate into my show, you know? And so it's a really cool learning process. And it's also a lot of fun just to see, you know, it's fun for me when I'm on stage to see fans reacting to my songs and singing words back. But it's cool then to also see the people who I'm opening up for. They've been doing this for longer. Their fans know their songs even better and see the energy that brings too. And so it's just, it's really, it's actually a really fun time to get to grow and learn for me.
Now, smaller stage or bigger stage, do you have a preference there? Or, you know, is it, I mean, both of them obviously have their advantages and disadvantages, but any certain one you prefer?
Yeah, I prefer a bigger stage. And that's really mainly because of my performance style. I like to, you know, just really feel the music, rock out, you know, skip around, be able to, you know, reach out to people on the far left of the stage and on the far right of the stage and just, I love having the energy of a bigger stage and room for the whole band to be able to rock out and move around themselves. So I think, you know, that's my preference. But, you know, there is something cool about more intimate stages too. You know, people catch all the words more that way. And as a songwriter, that's kind of a cool moment when you know that people are hearing every word and you know for sure that they're able, you know, to connect better with the story of the song. So, you know, there are pluses to both, but I think, you know, my personal preference is a big stage.
Speaking of songwriting, you know, I'm assuming you keep a notebook around and to be able to write lyrics on that as well. I mean, is that something that you do? And I mean, I've heard of people, you know, a good friend of mine actually writes lyrics on a back of airplane vomit bags, if you can believe that. But yeah, I mean, you obviously carry a notebook around and all that as well, and come up with ideas in terms of songwriting, right?
Well, you know, I've done it different ways, and I feel like I'm always kind of changing how I do it. I have written a song on one of those vomit bags before, so I'm glad to know I'm not the only one. but you know, right now, the thing I have with me no matter what is my phone. So I often keep notes in my phone. You know, I just use that notes app and write down an idea, or if it's a melody thing, then I'll just open, you know, voice memos that just comes on your iPhone, you know, and just, you know, put the idea down. And maybe it's just a partial idea. Maybe it's not even a hook of a song. Maybe it's just an idea for a song, like a concept, but, you know, just to write it down so that I can come back to it later. There was a time when I did carry a notebook. Right now I'm not in that phase. We'll probably circle back to that at some point. But
yeah, I was going to ask you that. I mean, do you ever circle back at some of the older ideas that you didn't think worked at the time and, you know, came back to them and figured out an idea that may work on it?
Absolutely. I mean, sometimes songs just aren't ready to be born yet. That's why, you know, sometimes I'll get in a room with a songwriter and we will just, you know, we'll start writing a song and what we have is great, but then for some reason we'll hit like a roadblock and there's just nothing coming out. You know, there's just nothing that's fitting in the spot. And at some point you just got to like walk away and be like, okay, you know, this song isn't ready to be born yet. So then you come back and some songs just take a while to reach, you know, their mature, complete state. And then there's other times when you have an idea that just comes out in like, you know, an hour and a half and you're like, well, I guess it's done. There's not even rewriting necessary. So it kind of depends on when the song wants to be born.
I mean, let me ask you this question then. And this is a question I ask a lot of the artists that come on here. What's the quickest you've ever written a song?
You know, I haven't timed it, but I remember one time when I was in high school actually, and I was supposed to be studying for finals and I just had this song in my head. And I think it came out in like 30 minutes. But I mean, I think there was probably some rewriting on that that needed to be done. But this melody was just bugging me, and so I just had to sit down at the piano and write it.
Yeah, I think the fastest I've heard is 12 minutes, but but yeah.
That's a
speedy
song.
That is a speedy song, it is.
It was ready. It was ready
to
be born.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the new single. I mean, you got the video coming out. I mean, you know, was this the first video that you've ever shot, or have you shot other videos before?
I have shot other videos. Actually, my first video that I ever got to do was just an amazing experience because it was directed by Trey Fanjoy, and she's an award-winning director, and it was just a killer video. It was for my Party Till the Cows Come Home song, and that's going to be a tough one to beat, you know, and especially because it was the first one, so there's even added magic in the air just because of it being the first experience. But the song was funny because it was like the coldest shoot that I've ever done and also the hottest because we did it in two places. And we filmed the first part of the video actually on the beach in Kauai. And then we did another one in a warehouse type thing in Nashville, and it was cold at the time. And for some reason, we could just not get the heat to really crank out in that place. So we were pretending to be warm, but we were actually really cold. So, but it's a really fun video, and it's actually now out now. So you can find that online and on my CMT page, and GAC's been playing it. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's got to be fun to be able to play around with, videos and all that as well. And, you know,
yeah.
What's probably the biggest thing you learned on set in terms of doing a music video?
Ooh, I mean, everyone is different, you know, because different concepts call for different things. But being behind a camera or in front of a camera, rather, is pretty much the same as being on stage, except that your audience isn't there yet. So when they're filming me and I'm doing a music video, I do the same things on stage, and that's just, you get lost in the song. And, you know, if I'm lost in the song, with this particular song, Whole or Nothing is about, you know, ditching your to-do list, going on vacation. So it's just a really fun, loving song. So if I'm lost in that song, then I'm just having a really great time. And if I'm having a great time, then anyone who watches the video is hopefully going to feel that positive energy and that same just fun, carefree feeling that I was feeling. So for me, it's just really important when you're filming to put yourself in that place.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's got to be a lot of fun to be on set and to be able to do that as well. So, I mean, people need to check out some of your videos online.
Yeah.
You guys can go to RochelleLinet.com, and you guys can check out those videos as well. And definitely, and I know you're touring coming up this summer as well. Hopefully you'll be at the High Art Radio Festival here, so you could be a part of, you'll be able to play Vegas for once. I don't think you've ever been to Vegas, have you?
I've been to Vegas. I've not done, I think, you know, as part of the rodeo there one time, I did some performances, but I haven't done like a show for the greater public in Vegas yet. So hopefully this is the one.
Yeah, you know, and I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, the rodeo's left town. They're heading to Orlando of all places, and I was disappointed when we lost the rodeo here. So
yeah,
but that stage is going to be huge. There's going to be so many fans that are going to be there. It's a huge festival, and like I said, there's so many stars that are going to be there as a part of it as well. And like I said, hopefully you're going to be a part of that as well. And I can tell you guys, please vote for her. And the way you can do it is two ways. You can, you guys can go to Macy's.highheartradio.com and vote there as well. Vote there, or you guys can also tweet. You can tweet Rochelle Linet and hashtag Rising Star to vote. And if you also hashtag Sweepstakes, you'll be entered for a chance to be able to do a VIP trip to the concert as well, and you can probably see Rochelle Linet live on stage at the iHeartRadio Music Festival. So make sure you guys definitely tweet that out. Like I say, go to Macy's iHeartRadio.com. You can vote multiple times a day. I think 50 is, I think, what the rule said.
You actually, it's pretty cool the way they've set it up. You can vote 50 times a day on Twitter, you can vote 50 times from your Facebook, and 50 times from your email. So there's a lot of options and a lot of ways that you can vote in a day.
Yeah, and definitely. And this round of voting ends this coming Sunday, and then the top five voting will start on May the 4th. So when Rochelle makes it to the top five, you guys can vote again, and then the winner is chosen, I think, at the end of May. So please, check that out. Definitely follow Rochelle Annet on at Rochelle Annet on Twitter, and you'll be able to find out all the details on that as well. And like I say, go to RochelleLannet.com and check out all the ways that you can vote. You can also listen to some of her very beautiful music. Am I forgetting anything at all?
No, I mean, I feel like you have it totally covered. Yeah, I really appreciate it, by the way, just to anybody listening who's going out there and, you know, typing in right now. Oh, I'm looking it up. I really appreciate all the votes. It's really been crazy encouraging to me to see the way that everyone's been rallying around this. So thank you so much.
Yeah, I think it's great. And also I want to mention that you're on Twitter as well. You're on Facebook as well. So you guys can check it out as well. Like you said, I really look forward, and my fingers are crossed, and I'm going to vote as much as I possibly can that we can be able to see you here in Vegas at the High Art Radio Festival. It's a big stage, like I said, a very big opportunity as well. And, like I said, your music is very, very beautiful and edgy. And I think that's that you're a really good, solid female voice in the country music scene. So it'll be interesting to be able to see that as well. Anything
thank
else you want to add?
No, just thank you so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun just to chat. And, again, thank you for the votes.
No problem at all. And thanks, you. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. I definitely wanted you on the show. First of all, thank your publicist for being able to the opportunity to get you to be on my show. So thank you very much. And we'll talk to you soon. Hopefully we'll talk to you when you win.
Absolutely. I'm believing that. I'm crossing my fingers as well.
Okay. Well, thanks for being on the show, and we'll talk to you soon, Rochelle.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. Rochelle Annet, everybody. Like I said, at Rochelle Annet. That's RachelleLynae on Twitter. And like I said, go to Macy's.iheart.com. You can vote there. You can also vote via Twitter. Like I said, Rochelle Annet, and then hashtag, had it up here real quick, hashtag Rising Star. Like I said, if you also hashtag that sweepstakes, you'll also be entered in the sweepstakes to take a VIP trip out here to be able to watch the iHeart Radio Festival, which is always so star-studded as well. And also on Facebook, you guys can check Lene on there as well. Like I said, voting ends for this round of voting coming up this Sunday. So please get your votes in for her as well. It's really lovely to have her on the show. Not sure. I think we're going to have a throwback Thursday show this next week. I have to take a look and see who that's going to be this week. I have to dig into my archive and see who that's going to be. So I'll let you guys know. So Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, we'll have another throwback Thursday show. And then next week, we have some very special guests, May to March, they're going to be, their album's coming out this week. So we'll have them a couple days after their album kind of releases, March to May, really great artists out of the, Americana bluegrass artists out of Seattle. We'll be talking to them coming up on Monday. And we'll have a list of a whole bunch of guests coming up on the show as well. Go to VegasPodcasting.com. I can need to update the site. I've been neglecting my site. I need to start updating some of these interviews. Also, make sure to check us out on Facebook, Facebook.com/SummerInVegas, and at SWIV on Twitter. You guys can check that out stuff out as well. With that in mind, we'll see you guys on Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific with our Throwback Thursday show. Please vote for Rochelle Annet on Twitter and Macy's.iheart.com and on Facebook as well. And we'll see what comes out of that as well. We'll see you guys on Thursday.